Father, we thank you this morning that not only are testimonies that we share, but we also, it's a time for us to gather ourselves together in a spirit of unity and oneness and in agreement for prayer. Thank you as we release our faith together for Jared's speedy recovery from the accident injuries he sustained. We thank you that with Jesus everything goes much better. And we thank you, we speak healing and wholeness to any broken bones or bruised ligaments, tendons, and muscles. Thank you for causing him to be raised up in very, very quick order that will be such a witness and a testimony to how you intervened and spared his life. And Father, for the other young man who we just heard of his report, we thank you that now we ask the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to speak to his family. We thank you that you surround them with gracious people who will be kind and non-judgmental about how this accident occurred, people that will come into this family's life that will have a sensitivity to their hurting, to their broken hearts, because Jesus came to heal the broken hearts, and Peggy has testified of that truth, and that you're no respecter of persons. And just as you healed her broken heart, we thank you that you'll do the same for this family, Lord. Thank you that you send all the right people into their lives to help them in this time of grief and sadness and mourning, and that your Holy Spirit will find creative ways to lift their spirit and to give them the strength and the courage that they need even for today to live through this day and to see the good in it and to remember all the years that they had with their son and what his life meant. And thank you, Father, that we as part of the faith community from time to time will gird them up in prayer. And we thank you for bringing healing and restoration to that family too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Very good. So they will be able to be encouraged in other ways as well. Yes, even in a time of like this. Yes. Father, we thank you. We can certainly come into agreement with Dave on his prayer request too. We thank you for this couple's salvation. Lord, we thank you that they're probably not unlike many of us, who didn't even realize the roads that we were running and the trails that we were hiking, trying to find our own way through life and coming to realize that there really is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that in all of their searching and all of the laborers that you've sent across their path, we thank you for the one that will come and bring the gospel in a way that maybe they've not heard, maybe they've not seen, maybe they've not experienced yet, but the one that will touch their hearts and show them that they were close but hadn't quite taken that last step to trust in Christ as their Savior, 100%. Father, we thank you. We thank you that already in faith we see their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Father, already that their hearts are being prepared to receive that good seed, the Word of God, which carries the salvation message. Thank you, Father, for booklets and tracts that they've received over the years. Thank you that the Holy Spirit will quicken to them and remind them of all the times that you sent the lifeboat, and now it's time for them to hop in it. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for their souls to be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I just saw a lifeboat, you know, and you think about the boats that the disciples always were traveling by boat, and I don't know, I just got a vision of a boat. Do they have anything to do with boats?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, that was a Rick thought then. I'll give credit to Rick for that one. Won't blame God on that one.
Well, their son was high up in the Coast Guard as a commander, so maybe that was the connection. I don't know.
Well, I'm quick to repent if I didn't catch it. Oh, my. Somebody else have a testimony this morning? Isn't it nice? Sometimes that's the first word you hear when you wake up in the morning. Father loves you. Yesterday, Faith and I were out and about, and I was getting some last items before Jesse and I leave for India in about 10 days. And on the way to Claremont, this man was on radio station that we were listening to. It was a question and answer. It was a Bible program. And the topic of murder and killing came up. And the wise man who answered the question came right out and he said, God is sovereign and murder was part of God's plan for this family's daughter. And that just so, it just so struck me as, this guy needs to get saved. And even Faith got a little bit riled, asked if she'd share that today. She says no, but it's just, we really need to be careful what we hear, what gets down in our spirit. And that was the word that the Lord gave me concerning that. It was in Jesus' teaching after the sower and the seed. He said, take heed what you hear, because it's going to produce faith or fear. But when we heard that, I was thinking about, spiritually, that didn't take away from our understanding biblically of who God is. But never in my wildest imagination what I've ever thought I would hear, that murdering somebody was part of God's plan for that person. And he was very direct. He didn't beat around the bush. That was the answer that he gave to the person who called him. And so then all of a sudden, after I didn't smash the radio before Faith did, I thought about it, thinking about how would I, as a minister, go to that family and bring them an edifying and encouraging word and say, oh, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Normally I'd be very sorry in such a situation, but the truth of the matter is God is sovereign and having your daughter murdered was part of his plan. Do you realize that sovereignty doctrine has done that and twisted the minds of people that they're actually preaching that stuff? There's no hope. You have nothing to come back at with. How can you even justify that? And how can you even bring a family encouragement or building them up or giving them any kind of hope when preachers of the gospel are on nationwide radio and television stations and they're speaking those things? It's really sad. Because I was thinking about all the thousands of people that listen to his daily radio program. And I know that different people are at different levels in their faith walk, even all of us. You know, we're all where we're at. But never since I've been saved have I heard such a more blatant thing spoken from a pulpit or a radio ministry that I really did. My flesh just wanted to smash something. Because it's like Jesus going to the temple and overturning the money changers that were selling lame and wounded lambs as substitutes for Christ. That kind of stuff riled me. And then when I got that scripture, it was like instantly, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And he said, "For with what measure you mete out, it shall be measured back to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." That's not the opening scripture, because I'll have that in a minute, but it was something that brought me a reminder too. Taking heed to what you hear. That word "hear" there doesn't mean just a noise. It means not only taking it, but receiving it and acting upon it. So take heed what you hear. Take heed what you embrace. Be really discerning about what you let get down into your spirit when it is so contrary. How do you explain away John 10:10, right out of the mouth of Jesus, "The thief comes, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He didn't say God came to kill, steal, and destroy. He said the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm telling you, we're living in days when there's some really stuff that's around us, and you really need to run it through the filter of the Holy Ghost. Because we can all be deceived. We can all hear something and say, "Oh, that sounds good." But really, really, I believe this is our heart cry. Take heed what you hear. Now for the opening scripture. Well, as you have been kind of walking through our teaching on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we came to prophesying. And we've kind of been looking at that, and I shared a prophecy that was given concerning the upcoming India trip. And you remember that, with the persons kind of very doubtful, almost expressing fearfully, intertwined in with the prophecy. Well, I got one yesterday from someone from 3,000 miles from here that's been praying for this trip. And this is what she sent me. And you can see it on the board or look it up in your Bibles. It was Psalm 121. And I want you to look at the certainty in this one. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." See, this person knows that we go into the Nilgiri Mountains, in the foothills, the foothills and the lower levels of the Nilgiri Mountains in India. How in tune this person was. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Amen. Now compare that. I mean, that's going to India with me. The other one probably will go in the fire. I mean, but you can see the contrast of why when we travel, it's so important. If someone comes to you and they say, "The Lord showed me this," or "I have a word for you," or "The Lord gave me a scripture for you," simply by reading it, that is so in tune, that is so exact, that is so precise. I couldn't have found a better place in the Word to describe not only where we're going, the geographic area so clearly laid out, but God's protection and His covering and His grace and His provision, not only in the going, but in the coming back. And you know, because God is no respecter of persons, there are promises in there for you as well. Amen. On your way to work, on your way on holidays or vacations, every day that you go someplace. This is such a wonderful reminder. But it was so timely because it came yesterday. And after hearing that message about God's into murdering somebody, really needed to hear from heaven. I don't know about you, but that's where my ears are turned. And that's true. That's where we all should be looking. If we want to hear, then that's where our ears need to be tuned in. So take a few minutes, greet each other, huggy break, and Reggie's going to probably mix in with the rest of us and carry on, and we'll have a wonderful continuation of our worship experience. You mean I got to talk now after all of that? Oh, you put me in a tough spot. No, not really. I just want to know why you waited so long to show up.
See, what took you so long to ask?
Now we know that's why you're supposed to be here. I love it. But as you kind of settle in and get and tune into the atmosphere that is so prevalent every week, there's a, I don't know, for those of us that have been experiencing this for quite some time, it's like you can almost tune a channel into where the Holy Spirit is ministering to us, and we're all learning together to learn to be more attentive to hearing His voice, whether it's scriptures to share or a testimony to share or music to enjoy. See, this, I don't think there's anybody in here that looked at this as a concert or a performance, because we're learning to recognize and honor the gifts that God has given each of us. And we've come to really understand how wonderfully the body of Christ works when you look at it from that perspective, that each person, we are a 1 Corinthians 14:26 church. Howbeit, brethren, when you all come together, each of you have a song, a doctrine, a hymn, or something to bring, to contribute, and it was your turn today. And that's why I said I'm not a controller. And if it's flowing, I want to go with that. And that's why I said you would know. And that we're to honor and respect each other when we're speaking or when we're singing or whatever. It's just part of Christian behavior. It's just proper. And we're just really thankful you came. And, of course, me too. I wonder, well, gosh, what am I going to do next? But it didn't take long, because my heart is, even though we worship together and we praise together, we cry together, we laugh together, it's so important to share the Word together too. Because your songs reflect the Word, and the Word is reflected in the songs, and probably shares a very common thing in all of us called our feelings or our emotions or our motives and things like that that the Holy Spirit works on. But there's also an invitation woven into all of those songs. And I listened maybe from a little different perspective, maybe, because I want to hear what the Lord is speaking. And I know that many of you do as well. And so as I listened to each of those, I could relate to my own life before Christ, the drugs, the partying, the drinking, and all that. And I've shared a lot of that from time to time. But then when I got saved, there was such a tremendous value and a realization that, man, I thought that was living. That was just death warmed up.
Pastor, if I may, I didn't get to tell you all that, yes, this person has been clean.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. And so two places that I'd like to bring us today in Scripture. One is Luke 4:18, and the other, whoops, Psalm 34. So I'd like to go to Luke 4:18 first, because to me personally, this is truly, we see Jesus' call and purpose for coming. But I want you to look on another level too. I want you to look and read yourselves into this as fellow ministers and co-laborers in Christ with the gospel, because I like to present that aspect, because once again it brings out God's many purposes for the body of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now Jesus said that, but I want you to be thinking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me also. And don't ever forget that. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who's the poor? The ones who have all the money but they don't know Jesus. Because you can't buy this.
That's right.
It's going to cost you your life. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Peggy, I often think of your testimony. I don't think there's a person in this room that hasn't had your heart broken at least once. To the point where you didn't think anybody could understand. You didn't think anybody would know. You didn't think that anybody would care. They got their own problems and they're not interested in hearing yours. Because there are people like that. And we know that. But I want you to see from this how that same anointing, that same power of the Holy Spirit upon each of us is to be there, not just for us but for whom the Lord will send across our path at any given moment. We were at Wally World, Walmart yesterday, and there's this elderly woman doing her best to keep up with the rush of Saturday afternoon traffic at the cash register. And she was beaten to a frazzle. And I could just tell nobody wanted to go to her aisle because she was so slow. But I'll tell you what, the world stopped for her yesterday for a brief time. She began to pour her heart out in how the corporate structure of Walmart had changed and it's no more about the people as employees anymore. And right out of nowhere, she just started talking to us. There's nobody else in the line. They all went to a faster lane. We had this whole place to ourselves. A quiet little moment. And I said, well, we're not in a hurry. We came to be here with you today and to thank you for being here. And we really appreciate that you take the time and you don't just throw stuff in the bag and half of it falls on the floor. Little things. And then she said, I just can't keep up with the pace anymore. My age won't let me, but I really need to work. And as we were getting ready to leave, I just said, may the Lord bless you with strength and encouragement today. And may his peace be upon you as you finish out your day. A simple little thing. And it caught her totally off guard. You know, she just wasn't expecting that. But that's how different you can change somebody's life. Don't be in a hurry. But we always are. It's a Vermont law now. People pass on the right as long as there's no bicycles in the way. They're learning it in New York. We were just there a week ago. Such a hurry, you forget what a brake pedal is for. And in our faith, sometimes we forget what the brake pedal's for. Being a believer is sowing our life into the lives of others. And when I read this, to heal the brokenhearted, sometimes I don't even know what to say in a situation where a tragedies happened in a person's life. And sometimes there isn't time to sit there and think about what you're going to say. But I'm often reminded of Jesus and the disciples when he said that the day is going to come, you're going to be called before magistrates, and you don't need to sit outside the courthouse in wonder and anguish and angst as to what you're going to say before the judge. Because did not Jesus say that he will give you the words to speak when you have need of them? I'm learning that sometimes I give me words to speak before it's time to speak. But how comforting that is, because sometimes just being with the person, whether you say anything or not, just being with them, the healing can begin in that person, because they found someone who cares about them long enough to sit with them, to listen to their heart cry, and maybe not have all the right things to say. They just know that you care because you're there. To preach deliverance to the captives. Many times people are held captive by so many things and don't even realize it, until they come to that place in their walk when they seem they can't go forward. They've reached a wall. It can be addictions, like in my case too, drugs and alcohol, but at that time I didn't care. But it kept me from receiving Christ until the day finally came and I said, there's got to be a better way to live than this. Plus I saw an unidentified object fly by my face. I don't know if it was a can of peanut butter or a can of soup. The face threw at me. My mild-mannered Clark Kent little wife. And I knew we had a problem. Those things you choose to try to forget, but you can't. They're etched in your memory. When I see a car go darting by outside the front doors, I think, oh my God, there goes that can of soup. And how, as the Lord was available to us in our time of need of deliverance, could be a bad attitude, could be a bad motive. It doesn't always have to be outward things like drugs or alcohol and pornography or whatever your fancy is. I mean, I know people that are just as addicted to going to the mall, and they just gotta go right now. It's exit 26, 91 South. Make sure you go there. On your way to the airport. To set at liberty those that are bruised. Did you ever notice an interesting thing about a bruise? Is that it starts with a wound on the surface, an abrasion or something, and then it begins to take on more of a visible appearance. Doesn't break a bone necessarily. Maybe not ligaments or tendons. But it's there. And it takes a while to heal. And sometimes things that we say can bruise a person. And it takes a while to heal. So when I read this, I read it maybe in a little different context. I mean, we're all talking about the same scriptures. But I think about it in the context of learning as a believer not to respond to my flesh and smash stuff, like the radio yesterday, or the kite stomped at the smithereens in front of my kids when they were little, and they always remember that. But to try as much as I can to tune into the Spirit, if you will, that there may be people bruised, maybe some of you today. And I think about the brokenhearted. There are people among us who have just dealt with some great losses in their families. And how can we be sensitive to the Spirit to be like this, to where we become vessels like Jesus was, vessels of his character, vessels of his nature, vessels of his integrity, vessels of his power, vessels for his healing. Do you ever pray that God will use your eyes to see what his eyes see? You know, Simone, when you and Dr. Somamata are over in the Philippines and I know the intricacies of things that you're doing, so often my prayer is, because I went there once and I saw how tiring your day is at the end of the day, but one of the prayers that I pray, and it's not a secret, is that I pray that you will see things that you would never see if the Lord hadn't have showed you through his eyes the things that he sees. And that he will guide your hand with such a precision that any incision you make will be done with the precision of the Spirit to guide your hand, that you don't want to get shaky like that and say, oops. That's not a good time to say oops. Praying that your hands will be his hands, his instruments. And I just use that as an example because we're family and, you know, we can talk very freely and openly among us. Learning to develop that sensitivity within each of us so that when people come here, it isn't by chance. There aren't a lot of places like this that people can come. And I don't say it, they say it. Where you can come and be healed. You can come and be made whole. You can come and be encouraged. You can come and someone will share Kleenex with you. We got boxes planted in strategic locations. Grab the nearest box to you. because I believe the body of Christ has lost a lot of sensitivity in observations that I've made. Not so much here because we talk about it a lot. But we get so busy with us that we forget to get unbusy with others. And we talk about great exploits and things that, big grandiose things that we're going to do or planning to do or whatever. I'll tell you what, each one of you personally, individually, is just as important to me as this whole trip to India coming. Because that's how much you mean to me. That's how much the understanding I have is that each life to me personally is as important as though you were the last person on this earth that's still alive. Why? Because it's been imparted to me. I can't shake it. I can't run from it. Everywhere I go, it's there. And I see each life. I understand so much better the value because I see it from the eyes of the Spirit. The value that God puts on every life to set at liberty those that are bruised, to free you from the oppressor. I can't do that, but we know the one who can, and we will very soon. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. While we have 2018, that's the acceptable year of the Lord. Next year will be 2019. It'll still be acceptable then. And 2,000,010 in eternity's calendar, it'll still be the day of the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord. And the other scripture was Psalm 34. And I really, 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 it's hard for me to have a favorite scripture. I have a favorite book, and in it I have many favorite scriptures. But I think about the work of the cross and the shedding of Jesus' blood, and what it means to look at a life that was once trashed and look at what the Lord has done with it since. And to go from trailer trash, lost, rebellious, unkind, to that new life in Christ that 2 Corinthians 5:17 banner says on the wall. And to be declared righteous by God himself. not by what we've done, but by what he did. And when I come across scriptures like this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry, your cry, Yuzin's cry, Yuz guys, personal. That his eyes are upon you. He leads us and guides us by his Spirit. We don't know what's around the next corner on the highway to life. Just like driving, you don't know what's around the corner that you can't see. You haven't negotiated it yet, but he does. Isn't it wonderful to know that he knows and that he's got your back? He's got it covered. And it says, to your cry. What's your cry today? What's your need today? What do you desire of the Lord today? And you can be thinking about that, because in a few minutes we want to pray. I always want to pray. But I know there are some here who also like to pray. And his ears are open to their cry. God's not too busy for you. He never has been, and he never will be. Verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. My funny Bible would say, the righteous cry, and they sound like spoiled little brats. They never get their way. They always want what they want. And the Lord isn't going to bother to hear them. And if he does deliver anybody, it's because you were here today. But watch out for Tuesday. Tuesday's coming. You may just get a hamburger. Like Wimpy. See, I don't bring that Bible here very often. Because you know there are people who think that God will never hear me. He doesn't have time for me. He's too busy in heaven taking care of the universe. No, he isn't. He already set it in its place by speaking, and the Spirit caused it to come into existence, and it functions very well, and the earth is not going to gravitate and fall into the sun. God put everything in place by speaking the word. That's not anything that we have to worry about. And in our lives, that broken heart, you see that? Verse 18, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as are a contrite spirit. A spirit that's humble and willing to let God bring healing. Some people don't want to be. And I know that's sad. But we all have relatives like that. I'm all right. Bang. Oh. Should have known to turn on the light before I went in that closet. He hears your cry. And he delivers you and me. Out of all of our afflictions, things that come against us, things the enemy stacks up to hinder you, to hold you back, to keep you from pressing forward, to keep you from fulfilling God's will in your life. That's the purpose of all those things. Those didn't come from the Lord. Why would the Lord put afflictions on you and then take them away? The enemy does that to keep you, to separate you, to cause you to not hear his voice. But he's faithful. God is faithful. So, in light of the wonderful songs of real life Christianity you brought today, in these scriptures, I would like to pray for anybody that wants prayer this morning. I mean, you know your needs. And I don't have a checklist. You know, like TV evangelists, they got to have a checklist of all your problems. I don't have any list.